Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Newbury Baptist Church. Especially warm welcome if you're here for Ben's baptism today. I see lots of faces that I don't recognise. I'm Richard Littledale, the minister. This is a big day for all of us, and not least for Ben. And it's really great that you can be here to share it with him. So welcome to all of you. Just one notice today, if I might share a little piece of family news with you. As of 4:30 yesterday afternoon, I am a granddad. Yeah, little baby Hugo was born at 4:30 UK time yesterday, and absolutely thrilled and looking forward to meeting him when the time comes. Hey, let's stand up, ready to worship God, shall we? Let's stand up together. Some simple words as we start our worship. Paul writes this: rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice.
Blue. song that we're going to sing is really focusing on the hope that we have in Jesus and the fact that he has overcome death and overcome the cross in order for us to have an eternal hope in him. So if you'd like to join me, it's a bit of a new song to some of us, but we have done it before, so hopefully it'll quickly come back to you.
Parade.
rise from our understanding as we pray together. Father, thank you for a hope which can never, ever, ever be extinguished. Make this a place of salvation today, we pray. Make this a place where the great acts of God are celebrated and felt to our very core. Thank you, God, that you promised to be here when we worship in the name of Jesus. And so we claim that promise right now in his name. Amen. Amen. Do sit down. Now, I wonder if some of those usually come and have a look at my story box. I haven't got a story box today. I've got a great big pond. Come and have a look at it with me. Parents, if you have any jumpers, you might like to come with them. I will not be responsible. Come up so you can actually see. Don't come any... Oh, that's the barrier, all right? My leg's the barrier, yeah? Okay, so... Why have we got all this water here today? What's going on? Yeah.
Somebody's getting baptized.
Okay, well, imagine I'm really thick and tell me what that means. What does it mean when someone gets baptized? Why would they do a thing like that?
To show that they love God.
To show that they love God. Wow, that's a fabulous answer. So what's actually going to happen a bit later on? So I'll be in there. What's going to happen?
They're going to go inside the water.
They're going
to
go inside. Are they just going to stand there? Or
baptized.
They're going to get... What happens when they get baptized?
They get put under the water.
Under the water. Only for a very short amount of time. Yeah, right the way under. And then right the way back out again. Years ago, I had a group of children a bit bigger than this. They were from year two in a school. They'd never seen... this before. When I got back to school, they wrote all they'd learned, and somebody wrote, when you're baptized, it's like you make a clean new start. Isn't that a brilliant way to describe it? I think that's absolute. So, if it was you getting in there today, how do you be feeling, do you think? Yeah, anybody who hasn't said anything yet, perhaps, just stay there. Yeah, go on.
Wet.
Wet, well that's absolutely true, yeah, okay.
A bit worried, because you might have, because the people who might have been doing under the water too long, you might
drown. A bit worried in case you got put under the water too long. Won't do that, promise. Okay. Anything else that you might be feeling if you were going to get up here and tell your story and then get in there afterwards? Yeah.
Excited.
Yeah. Anything else? Go on.
A bit nervous.
I'm glad you said that because I'm a bit nervous too. So I'm glad you mentioned that one. So I think it'd be really good to pray for the person who's getting in there today, don't you? Do you know who it is?
Benjamin.
Benjamin, wave to us in case people don't know who you are. There he is. He's got a bright yellow top on so we can recognise him. Shall we pray for him right now and then you can come back later on and see him get baptised, yeah?
Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's pray for him right now. Father God, we pray for Benjamin today. We pray this would be a wonderful day for him. And if he is feeling nervous, then just help him, we pray. And Father, we ask that the others of us here who are going to see this happen would find that you've got something very special to say to us today. Amen. We're going to sing a song we don't know very well, but it says, nobody loves me like Jesus loves me. Come and sit down again and we're going to sing it together.
Thank you.
to please sit down. I'm going to invite those going out to Chatterbox to make their way there now, but don't worry, you'll be back. We will make sure you don't miss out on the baptism. I can't tell you how relieved I am that they all came up here without a single one falling in. This is a plus point. I'm pleased about this. This is a day, this is a moment to celebrate all the great acts of God. We'll hear one particular story today, but it's a pinnacle of something huge he's doing everywhere. It's a moment to say, God, you're busy, and we're glad about that. I'm going to stand and sing an older song together now. It talks about all his works. Let's stand and sing, O Lord, my God.
My God, when I in awesome wonder come to the world.
We're going to move on to another song that is just really singing about the splendour of the King and the splendour of God and how he has just created everything around us that we can look at and just see him in. The splendour of the King.
Sit down as Bethan comes to read to us. Thank you.
The reading today is from Matthew 13, 44 to 46. The parable of the hidden treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like this. A man happened to find a treasure hidden in a field. He covers it up and is so happy he goes and sells everything he has and then goes back and buys that field. Also, the kingdom of heaven is like this. A man is looking for fine pearls, and when he finds that one that is unusually fine, he goes, sells everything he has, and buys that pearl.
Thank you, Bethan. Little straw poll for you. How many, hands up to this, hands up if you are sick of singing Happy Birthday to Me twice every time you're washing your hands. Yeah, it's getting old, isn't it? I mean, as far as ablutions go, I think you're taking it a bit far this morning, Ben, all right? I think you're taking that a bit too much to heart. And joking apart, it's a very strange time to be making any kind of decision that's forever. You know, we're in a moment where businesses are drowning under the weight of having to pay sick pay. Shelves are empty in the supermarket. It's just like the millennium. You go in the supermarket and all sorts of things have gone because people are panicking. People have got their holiday plans on hold. Massive conferences around the world have been cancelled. For all we know, the Olympics might be cancelled as well. People are not sure what they're going to be doing tomorrow, let alone next week or next month. And against all of that background, Ben stands up here today, or will do in a few moments' time, and makes promises that are forever. That's either really bold or incredibly naive. So which is it? Which is it to make those kind of promises at such a time as this? There are two lessons from that little tiny reading that Bethan brought to us just now. And the first of them is this. When you find a treasure, don't lose it. When you find something that's worth everything to you, don't you dare let go of it. We don't really know much about the man in this first story. Looks like he wasn't rich enough to own his own land. Maybe he spent his days as a tenant farmer, though I suspect he was even poorer than that. I suspect he was literally just the hired hand to go out every day and plough somebody else's field. Every day it would be the same thing, getting up before dawn, going to that person's farm, hitching up the oxen, and then ploughing to and fro and to and fro, earning the tiniest percentage of what would go to the person who owned the land. And every day is pretty much like every other day. Up early, harness the oxen, up and down until the light fades, and then he would go home. And then one day, unlike any other, he's just doing that when he hears a sound as the plough cuts through the soil and there's something down there. And he kneels down and he scrapes away the earth with his hands, getting more and more desperate the closer he gets to it. And at last he finds a hoard of treasure that somebody has buried there for their rainy day and they never came back for it. A real thrill of finding it. You know, years before I was born, so I only know this story because it was passed down to me, my dad was out walking with some friends, and one of his friends kicked over a molehill, and there was a Roman coin. Which means that I cannot now resist ever kicking a molehill. It's never happened to me, but I will go on doing it as long as I'm capable of kicking them, because I want to find some treasure too. And when this guy finds the treasure, almost the first thing he does, it hides it again. It was just like you when you go into the sales and you find something you really want to buy, and if you haven't quite got yourself organised yet, you reorganise the things on the shelf so other people don't notice it. He really wants to make sure that no one else takes it away from him. When you find something precious, you don't want to lose it. You don't want it to go away. That's part of what Life by Instagram is all about. It's the desire to hold on to the moment and to be able to say to other people, look, I was there and I did experience that and I was in that place at that moment. To have found what Ben has found, and he'll tell you about it in a moment. To have found what he has found is really, really precious. It's treasure. You know, in this story, it's described as hidden treasure. It's described as the pearl of great price. If you go elsewhere in the Bible, you'll find it described as eternal life. A place in the kingdom of God. Adoption papers for God's family with your name on it. an end to ever being afraid of the future ever again. A cancellation of any and every debt that Ben ever owed or ever will owe to God. This stuff is precious. Right now, there are people around the world who have lost everything, including their liberty, but they regard themselves as rich beyond all measure because they have this treasure. And all of that's just the beginning. You know, baptism doesn't change anything. Baptism doesn't make Ben a different kind of person. Baptism is simply the confirmation that that has already happened. The decision which altered Ben's life happened not today, but 7 years ago, and he'll tell you more about that in a few moments' time. It's just a way of declaring here and now, today, in front of you, his friends and his family and his church family, that this decision is forever. No matter what's going on in the world outside, no matter that people are frightened about the next news headline, no matter the fact that they don't know what shape their lives are going to take and they're making all kinds of contingency plans, this contingency plan lasts forever and will never get blown out of the water. When you find this precious treasure, hold on to it. It's a wonderful story told of a pearl fisherman in the South Pacific, and things had not been going well. And if they weren't going well, then the family starved. That's kind of what it came down to. And on this particular day, he said, look, today is going to be the day, and I'll go out and I'll find the biggest pearl you've ever seen. And so he goes out with his friends in the boat, and he was a free diver, so dives over the edge. And they wait, and they wait, and they wait. Far too long, and they wait. And at last, there's some bubbles, and he comes up to the dock, and they pull him into the boat, absolutely gasping, because he's really dived too far, and grasped in his hand so tightly that literally his friends had to prise his fingers away from it. Grasped in his hand, sure enough, was the future of his family, the biggest pearl he had ever seen. When you find this treasure, hold on to it. Hold on to it so tightly that no high and no low and no storm and no drought and no calamity of any kind will ever snatch it from your hand or your heart. So, when you find a treasure, don't lose it. But also, when you find this particular treasure, lose everything else for it. There are two people in those two stories that Bethan read to us. The first one is very poor, the second is not. And he's a merchant, which meant he would have been well off anyway. He also clearly has a taste for pearls, so he obviously had money to throw around. He was quite a wealthy person. But somehow, his life was not complete. Like a rich playboy with all the trappings and all the toys, somehow still it isn't enough. And he keeps looking for this one thing that somehow is going to make it complete. I was talking to the guys at Men's Breakfast yesterday about the fact that I have the collecting bug. If you've got the collecting bug, whatever it is that you collect, there's probably one thing that you really want. You know, one particular card or one particular stamp or whatever it is that you collect. There's that one thing you really want to lay your hands on, and when you see it, you'll probably spend silly money in order to get it. And that's what happens to this guy. He finds the one thing that he really wants, and then incredibly, from a rich man, remember, it says, when he found it, he went away and sold everything he had to buy it. It's pretty drastic, really, isn't it? But he just can't help himself. You see, salvation comes to us free. It is the gift of a generous God to every man and woman and child who will grasp it, as Ben has done. But it's going to cost you. The same Jesus who told the stories you've just heard was the one who said, look, if you put your hand to the plow and then look back, I can't be doing with you. Can't work with you. It's the same Jesus who would talk about leaving mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers behind in pursuit of a higher calling. It's the same Jesus who would look his quivering disciples in the eye and say, now take up your cross and follow me. In a few minutes' time, I'm going to ask Ben a very dangerous question. It runs like this. Will you seek to live within the fellowship of the church and to serve him in the world. Talk about an open question. The world's a pretty big place. You know, and if he says yes to that, if he says, yeah, I'll serve him in the world, anything could happen. It's so open-ended, it's almost irresponsible. You know, people who have answered that question in the affirmative, people who have said, oh, yes, I'll do that, have ended up in every place around the world, from war zones to drug dens and refugee camps to council chambers. Salvation is a big gift, and a commitment to serve him anywhere in the world is a big ask. And I know, because I've done it. You know, my parents always felt a little bit disappointed in me because I didn't get a proper job and I came to be a minister instead and never earned, you know, proper whatever it was. I've been doing it 33 years now, so it's far too late anyway, and I don't regret a single day of it. But that all started for me 40 years ago on my baptism day, saying yes to that question. Will you seek to live within the fellowship of the church and to serve him in the world? It all started when I said yes to that question. That's the question which in the end would lead to me abandoning all the ambitions I had to work in theatre. It would lead to me cancelling all my job applications. It would lead to me finding my way into ministry with just a few weeks to spare before I got married and God still hadn't sorted it out yet. To find Jesus is to find a treasure which you do not want to lose and for which you are prepared to lose everything else. That's what it comes down to. Having a treasure you don't want to lose and a treasure for which you'll happily lose everything else. It's really easy to get caught up in the emotion of a day like today. It's really easy to get what I call London Marathon Syndrome. You see, I often used to take a holiday just after Easter, because Easter's kind of busy for me, and I would come back, and quite often I would still be off duty, but at home on London Marathon Day. So I'd end up watching it on the telly, and you know, it's like it goes on nearly all day, and I'd end up really inspired, oh, I've got to do this, you know, I could do this, I could join in. Of course, by Monday morning, it all looked different. You know, and by the time you walk to the car, you're out of puff and you thought, no, maybe I won't do the marathon after all. And it gets relegated to the back burner. It's really easy to do that on a day like this. Let me leave you with something final to think about. I don't usually bring my teddy to work with me. But just on this, well, not that I'm telling you anyway, but on this particular occasion, I have done. Yes, it is a cuddly Yoda. Somebody gave this to me shortly before I left my previous church. They said, oh, I bought it for you because Yoda's wise like you. I think she was having an off day at the time. Clearly her judgment was impaired. But anyway, she passed little Yoda on to me and now he lives in my office. Listen, considering the treasure that I have talked about will not save you. Appreciating the value of that treasure will not save you. Resolving that one day you're going to think about it, you really are, will not save you. For those of you who know the script, do or do not, there is no try. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this salvation, for this treasure. May we grasp it with both hands and never let go, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
We're going to stand and sing while everyone gets ready and into their places. So if you'd like to join in. Thank you.
please sit down as Ben shares his story with us.
Right, so 7 years ago, I gave my life to Christ, and since then, my faith and trust in him has only gotten stronger. I grew up in this church, surrounded by people who loved Christ, and I absorbed the Bible stories quickly. I certainly believed in God and would pray, but they were selfish prayers, and God was more of a handyman than a saviour or a friend. For a few years, my older sister had been going to a camp run by a family friend, Marcia, and I was finally old enough to go, and I did, and I had great fun. Each evening, everyone would gather in a hall where we were staying for a worship and a talk, and afterwards they would invite us to speak with a leader if we had any questions, and they projected some prompt statements or questions, and one of them was along the lines of, if you don't know you're a Christian or want to become one, then speak to one of us. And I felt God was calling to me from that statement, encouraging me to make the leap, to actually be saved. So I spoke to one of the leaders, and we talked over what it meant to be a Christian and what I believed. And then I prayed. I prayed for forgiveness and mercy because I knew I was imperfect and I knew I had sinned and I wanted to change, to live my life according to Jesus' example and God's will. I felt God's presence and love come over me like waves on a beach, crashing over and over again. Since then, my faith has only gotten stronger and stronger as I have walked further with Christ. Many different things have aided me in this journey of getting to know Christ more, including adventurous sailing camp, Soul Survivor celebrations and festivals, Firm Youth Group at St. Nick's, and many, many more people. I've also examined and reflected on my personal faith and Christianity as a whole through the help of many friends and books. Sometimes it's hard to see the many things God has done for me until I look back and reflect on my journey with him. I realise now, looking back, that I've grown more confident and more secure in myself. And when I look at the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, I see how fruitful I've become thanks to God. I'm by no means perfect and still have much growing to do, but with God's help and guidance, I pray that I will bear more fruit still. Getting baptized is something I've considered for a long time, probably since my sister got baptized, but it's never really been more than a fleeting thought until this summer, where I was at Soul Survivor and I had a great time learning more about relying not on myself but on God and God's strength. And when I got home, I had this nagging, persistent whisper in the back of my mind telling me to take the next step, to get baptized. And this is why I'm getting baptized today. God has called me to take the next step on my journey of faith, to publicly declare that Jesus Christ is God, that he came and died on the cross for my sins and rose 3 days later.
Thank you, Ben. So then, I ask you, Ben, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
Do you turn from sin, renounce evil, and intend to follow Christ?
I do.
Will you seek to live within the fellowship of his church and to serve him in the world?
I will.
Then come and be baptised. So, my brother Ben, upon your profession of faith and at your own request, we baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Father, we thank you this morning for Benjamin, for his story and the public display of his faith in you today. We recognise and thank you, Lord, for all the different people who have played a part in Ben's story so far, for the encouragement, support, time and love they have invested in him. We pray that you will continue to place the right people in his life at the right time, and that you would use him to support and enable others too. We ask you, Lord, for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit on Benjamin today, that you would nurture and grow the gifts and abilities you have given him and continue to develop the fruits of the Spirit in him, that he may serve you effectively wherever you place him. We also ask for your hand of protection over Benjamin as he has stepped up for you today, and pray that as his church family, friends and family,
you would help us to stand with him and remember to pray for and encourage him as he continues on his adventures with you. We are excited, Lord, by all that you are and will do in and through Benjamin. And we pray that you would, that he would continue to seek the kingdom of God above all else in every situation, and that you would give him all that he needs. Amen.
Amen.
This treasure that Richard was talking about today, then maybe it would be a really good idea for you to talk to somebody that you have come with. I'd really urge you not to go home without having some of your questions asked and answered with someone that you have come with today. And we're just going to pray for people who might have been affected by this service and for Ben now. So if you could join with me in praying. Lord, we thank you so much for Ben. We thank you for the courage that he's had to stand up in front of everyone, which is a scary thing to do. We thank you for the journey that you have taken him on and the way that he has met you and the way that you have put so many people in his life that have encouraged and supported him. Lord, we just pray for anyone who has come here today, people who maybe have never met you or people who have met you and have forgotten about you, maybe people who have lots of questions or people who have never considered you before today. Lord, we pray for anybody who has been affected by what they have heard or sung or said this morning so far. We pray that people will have the courage to just talk to you or talk to the people that they have come with and maybe take that first step on their journey of finding you and knowing you. Amen. So our last song today is another one that Ben has chosen. Be Thou My Vision. It's one that I think a lot of us know, and it's just such a brilliant song that really talks about making God the focus of our lives. And just as we go from here today, I just pray that this will be what you can do in your week. Make God your vision and your focus.
Be thou my vision.
I just want to say before I pray with you all that if God has pointed you in the direction of the treasure today, you'd be a fool to go home and forget about it. If God has opened your eyes as he did for Ben 7 years ago, and you want to store it away and deal with it another day, you might just be doing yourself a great disservice. To come back to my little friend here, yeah, do or do not, there is no try. Let's pray. Father, for this great moment, for this great joy in our midst, we thank you. And we ask you sincerely from each heart that you would touch every life here. In Jesus' name, amen.